All right, it's that time. It's time for Beyond Sight and Sound. Let's do this.
S&W Shooters and Prospectors. What is S&W Shooters and Prospectors?
We at S&W Shooters and Prospectors help people find treasure.
Did you say treasure?
Yes, treasure. Just listen to this amazing review from our happy customer, Jackie Sparrow.
Error, chocolate ship shape, and a pleasure to deal with. I was able to buy everything that I needed at prices that were shillings less than others. I found my 9 pieces of 8 in no time. Savvy?
I know you're asking yourself, why should I shop at S&W Shooter and Prospectors?
Chuck Smalley has over 45 years of metal detecting experience. He works with each customer one-on-one to customize their setup to match their skill level.
So if you always dreamt of being a pirate, contact Chuck at S&W Shooters and Prospectors, and he'll take a great deal for you.
High passion rum not included.
Caution. Please do not operate motor vehicles or power equipment while under the influence of this show. Listening to this show could cause side effects such as bouts of laughter, violent binges of cabin fever, and even dreams of silver and gold. Please be advised. Now that the fine print is out of the way, on with the show.
All right, we're back. We're live once again. And at least some of us have been out hunting, which is always a good thing. Always a good thing. And obviously, here we are. We've got Chuck with us again. And he has been out hunting.
I did get out today.
You did well.
Yeah, I didn't do too bad. It wasn't anything about numbers today. It was about getting, if you're going to get one quality coin, one really nice one, it's always good to get out. And It was a nice day. Field's a little
well, it was
muddy.
Yeah, but it looks like it was worth it for you.
Yeah. We got some tokens and a few coins but what surprised me, I stumbled across a very nice Indian head. Very nice for the area we're in. We don't find them quite that nice. But I got an 1873, and I believe it to be the closed 3 version. And that's pretty cool. I tried to hold it up for you, for Josh at the camera, but this coin, it's not pitted. It's in really nice shape. I was surprised at its quality. It's got a little bit of dirt left on it, but I just pecked at it a little bit. I just wiped it with water. And let's see if I can get it over here. You probably can't read the date. but it's got a real nice green patina. It's not ate up. Full headdress. You can read the entire headdress in Liberty. And then typical for where we're hunting, we get these
full Liberty
farm tokens. And that's good for a bushel of onions. And that's how they paid them. There's a whole variety of names out there. This is Windcrest Farms. So you get those, and it's a lot of fun to get out and do a little digging. And Dave and I were out. We both got some tokens and some older stuff, but no great numbers, just some quality stuff, and that's good. So we had a good day, you bet. And, we're getting them in the house now.
Well, and, you know, any time that you can get out like that,
Yeah.
Well, I got all the time. You can get out like that. And like you said, it's not always a game of numbers. And I'll take quality over quantity anytime.
I'd rather find one or two nice older pieces and some other artifact type stuff than going to a tot lot and digging zinc pennies that are rotted away.
Right.
Yep.
Well, and realistically, I mean, when you stop and think about it, the area that you were working, it makes it almost that much more surprising when you see an Indian come up in that condition.
Right.
Because normally working fields, the coppers, the chemicals, they're not good to the coppers, and that thing's nice.
Yep, that's a nice coin. I'll post a picture up of it on there. Hey, Richard, how you doing tonight? And everybody else, we got Suki in here, Ian, Lewis, how you doing? All the Bills, Dennis. Let's see, Mike,
yeah, Lock, Frank, Steve, Frank, Mike, Louis, Bean.
So,
Jason, the Bortners.
Yep.
Michael Boyles.
Hey, Michael, how you doing, buddy?
Galen. Yeah, everybody dropping in. Definitely.
Yep.
But yeah, and another thing I suppose I should mention quickly. There is still plenty of time for them to get entered if they have not already. People may remember we did mention back on Sunday's stream that Metal Detecting Central Illinois and Mike Lacomet were going to be doing a surprise contest, and it is up. It runs from 6 to 9 p.m. Central Time, so there is still time to get entered into that pop-up contest over on the Metal Detecting Central Illinois Facebook group. Get over there and participate.
Yeah.
If you're not a member, join the group. We'd love to have you. And yep, there's Richard Kirkmeyer in the house. I was thinking about him last night. We were starting a batch of cabbage fermenting. Richard likes to do a little bit of fermentation himself.
Kimchi?
Sauerkraut.
Oh, sauerkraut. Hell yeah. We used to make a lot of sauerkraut.
Oh, yeah.
Sauerkraut and grind our own horseradish. And that was, woof. That'll run you.
Yeah, that if you're stuffed up, that'll open up the sinuses.
Yeah, and make you cry.
Especially making that stuff.
Yeah. Facebook folks in too tonight. I don't see the names there, but there's several of them popped up.
Yeah, it could be from one of the groups that the feed is running in. Because that's one of the things that's going on over here behind the scenes as the bumpers are rolling. I'm busy over on Facebook getting it into the on Sight and Sound Group, my timeline, any place like that, we can pretty much get it into any group that we would like if that group would so like it to be that way.
Cool.
So that's something I've been toying around with the past few episodes, and making sure audio levels are okay and things are running smoothly or smoother, which I gotta say the internet upgrade for you has went very well. You should be pleased with that internet upgrade, I would think.
Yep. The final comes next week. We're switching phone service and going 100%. And I'm putting a Roku card in this TV down here because it's not a
Roku,
whatever they call it. I don't know.
Yep.
And try to get those upgrades done. But the net, but yesterday we were over Iowa City way and I was on the Facebook looking at stuff and different things, and the whole thing crashed, locked me out. Did it on the computer here. Of course, I wasn't here. And then today I'm trying to get things back online, got things back online. So tonight when you sent me a link, I was like, keep my fingers crossed to see if it works. We did. That's good.
Yeah. And I know what you mean. I had been on Facebook yesterday morning, and then all of a sudden, like you said, locked out. It wants you to log in. You can't log in. Messenger was locked up. It was all dead in the water. And I was like, oh my God, this must be what people worry about when people talk about electromagnetic pulse and stuff like that. We're back to the Stone Ages. There's no Facebook. There's no Messenger. What do we do?
Right. Little Barb's in the house, but she's working on papers. So we're together.
Yeah, definitely. And I figured I'd give everybody a few minutes to get in. I'll be able to. Sunday we were talking about what the dates were for the next DigFest, and I did mention that I would make sure. I thought I knew what it was, but I would make sure to clarify that information and have that information for tonight's stream. So I do have a little more information that we can kind of trickle out about DigFest.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting. But if I remember correctly, that is going to be a scheduling conflict for you.
Yes.
I believe you will be in England.
Yep. I think so.
And, we can't pass up England for DigFest.
I'm sorry. They bounced me around. I was supposed to go spring. I told them I didn't want spring. They filled me in on one spot to make room for another guy. Things that continually evolves. It changes. And once everybody gets
settled, very fluid.
So I just tell him, let me know when you want me to go. And he put me in on that one because I had one drop out of there, another one switch over. You know how it goes. Oh, hey, yeah. Brian, how you doing? Brian Montez. Yeah,
And I see Ian's in as well. Nice.
Oh. Yeah, well, we got a bunch in.
But yeah, I mean it, and not that there's anything wrong with DigFest. They put on a great event. They do a very, very good job with it. Very friendly guys.
Oh yeah.
But
better group.
When you're faced with choices, do I go to England or do I go to DigFest? Well, got to go to England.
Have the opportunities, you know.
Yeah, exactly. When the opportunity presents itself, you don't want to let it pass you by. Some opportunities don't come up very often. And with England, you're fortunate enough to have a number of opportunities. You're just trying to get it to quit jumping around on you.
Right. Hello, Janet Chapman. We got a good group. Yeah. Did anybody else get out? I haven't seen anybody that got out. I think the Bortners were out.
I'm sure they were.
For sure.
And I know the Bills were out. Said they didn't find a whole lot, though. Although Ohio Relic Hunter said that someone's missing vape mod is no longer missing. He happened to find one. Not with the detector, just line of sight. But he did find one.
Mm.
Unfortunate for somebody that that looked like not a very cheap one. Some of those can get kind of pricey.
I found a couple vape things on the beach down Aruba.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah, usually you find them quite often around places like that. And I don't know. It seems like a lot of them that I see getting posted up that are found on the beaches are usually the cheaper ones, like the Jewels and Joys and things like that.
So, yeah, well, they had where was the fire at the vape factory recently, just a couple nights ago, and explosions and all kinds.
I had not heard about that.
Michael Busy Bee Detecting, he says, I found the house site at Florida Hunt 10, all the way back in the north field, stove parts and a spoon handle. Well, you got the house site, man. If you go next year, you can get back to it and maybe cherry pick a little bit, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, you found it. That's the important part. Now you know where it is. Now it's time to go back and work it over.
Ian says Texas on that. I just saw a news break. Okay. Yesterday or day before. Yeah, everybody, welcome. Jason says, welcome to start a tornado season. We had one on the ground just about 15 miles southeast of us. But it didn't do any terrible damage. But we didn't have it here, but the town itself, Cordova, and all the way across, hail. But fortunately, most smaller, but some of them did get some, you know, quarter size stuff, but a lot of it.
But you didn't get it there, though.
No.
Huh.
Nope. We shoved stuff around. I'd heard, well, they were blowing the sirens because of the tornadoes and the wind. The wind didn't get terrible here, but boy, did we get rain. And now we're supposed to start tomorrow evening through Friday, get another inch. So I don't know
if
Anna's going to get that down to her way where she can get out. She says she needs a little more rain.
Well, she may get that opportunity. When you heard they were getting hail and everything, did you go, oh, no, I got to hurry up and get the truck in the garage?
Yeah, Shannon says 2.5 to 3 inches of rain.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Well, careful what you wish for. Sounds like they got plenty coming. That's quite a bit. But to be fair, in a lot of places, it is unnaturally dry, so they could use it, I'm sure.
Yeah. Hey, I see Celeste's in the house too, so we got the crew in.
Oh yeah, she was
keeping an eye on Frank. Somebody's got to.
Right. Yeah, I think she was feeding their pet bird, so to speak, an egret, I believe it was.
Well,
earlier. Yeah, Celeste was.
Well, I saw
crazy.
Damn, there looked like there was another lizard that invaded the neighborhood there at Frank's.
Yeah, it did look that way. And he had a post up yesterday, I believe it was. Somebody had contacted him wanting to know what they were doing wrong with their legend, why their legend sounded so quiet compared to their friend's legend. You know, what am I not doing right with my settings? And they finally deduced that, believe it or not, it was the headphones, because the gentleman that was asking about settings, his friend, had a pair of Aquatecs on his legend, so his legend was much louder.
That would be a possibility. I used the Aquatecs in the water down in Aruba, and they did very well, although it seems like, and this may be me, the left side is not quite balanced to the right. So my other ones, they seem all right. Maybe it's my hearing. I don't know. Oh, well.
That was, maybe that was just kind of selective discrimination. You remember the old Nautilus machines that were like that?
Yes.
So maybe that was kind of a
used a to be built-in. Headphones had right and left volume controls on some of them.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Frank says you get them to him. I'll check them out. I can do that, Frank. I'm not using the waterproof ones right now anyway.
Right. Now that you're back from Aruba, may not be as much of a need for them right now.
Not right now.
They're still handy though in the fields and stuff too. I mean, they're so much louder than the traditional pair of headphones, and usually very crisp and clear sound.
Mm-hmm. I heard everything I was digging on. I'll tell you that very well. Even some of the tiny stuff. So, and in the water they did well, and they survived me getting blown up on the beach by a wave that was much larger than me, and I didn't realize it and wasn't set for it.
Right. But I guess that just goes to show the durability factor of them. They can take a beating and keep going.
Well, yeah, they showed me what a beating was. Let me tell you that.
Right. Yeah. Let's just hope that
I had people standing up going, "You okay?" "Yeah, I'm okay. I'm up on the dry side now." It didn't pull me back out.
Right. Yeah. Apparently I'm up where I need to be.
Yeah, I saw several guys much, much larger than me get thrown up on the beach, and they're going, "Wow." It was a surprising change there. So,
yeah. And it can happen so fast, and
boom, it was
a wave. It never necessarily looks as large as it is. You always think it's smaller than what it is. And then it gets you and you're like, "Holy cow."
Well, I was thankful nobody jumped up and says, "I got that on camera." No, that's okay. You know, there was enough people there. They saw it. And then two others right after me, another big one crashed in and knocked a couple others over, and a lot of people were getting out because there were some big sets rolling in, and it wasn't quite that bad, and it got worse.
Yeah. And it's not that a person may not have to deal with that when they're inland water hunting, but that's really a environmental condition to watch for when you're coastal water hunting.
Yep.
And you can't turn your back for very long at all before Mother Nature decides to sneak up and show you who's who.
seemed pretty good at that, but I was concentrating on a target, which that one I didn't find. I didn't even go back after it. Nope.
Kind of going, well, whatever that one is, I think Neptune can keep it.
Yeah. The Kraken got me there.
Yeah. Yep. You got to be careful. But at least you weren't seriously injured or anything. No, and the equipment survived as well.
I got a scrape on the right hand and a little scrape on the right leg. Little sand abrasion going there, I think.
Right.
But it wasn't.
So, one of the last times I was out doing the coastal water hunting, between the extra hours in the sun and the abrasions, I had one of my legs that was starting to, the calf was starting to bleed pretty good in the water. And then we found out we had a hammerhead sighting less than 3 miles from where we were.
Well, you didn't need to be in the water and be bait.
Right, yeah. Everybody asked me, said, weren't you concerned about that? I said, no, not so much. I mean, hammerheads, just normally they're just curious. I said, the thing that concerned me was coming out of the water and finding out that 5 other area beaches had been closed that weekend due to a great white sighting. Because everybody's seen Jaws.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Michael, have a great one, buddy. He's signing off, so. But,
Good night, Michael.
Scared my wife so bad she wouldn't even wade in the river down here for about 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, strange things can happen.
Well, at the same time, you know, Jaws is going on. They're talking about sharks. And she heard the report that certain sharks have been spotted all the way up the Mississippi River. The bull sharks, they come into fresh water as far south as Illinois, the last lock and dam. They still talk about them. They still occasionally have a sighting or somebody caught one or something like that in the Mississippi. They will travel all the way up. So at that point, she decided,
Right. Don't need to be out there doing that.
Don't need to be out there. Nope. Not at all.
Right. And sometimes you gotta wonder.
Janet says, I don't blame her.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's true, definitely. I don't know. You do, though. You see some strange things, and I've seen and heard stories about that in other places as well, that it kind of reminds you when it comes to being in the water. I mean, yeah, we hunt in the water too, but it is a different environment for us. And you do have to kind of, it's no different than land hunting. You got to be aware of your environment and your surroundings and kind of keep an eye out.
I was down with, down hunting on the east coast of Florida with Gary Drayton a couple years ago. And Gary's diehard, he's in the water when you can be, depending upon where you're at. And I'm
right.
Looking out, and I'm about, we're not too far from a hotel, but I'm a little better knee deep, and he's out a little deeper. Look out, and I see a shark fin, and I see this shark jump out of the water. And I hollered at him. We were about 20 feet apart. I said, hey, you got sharks. Oh, they're just spinner sharks. They won't bother you. You seeing them jumping? Yeah, and they spin? I said, yeah. I said, to me, a shark's a shark.
Right. Going, okay, that's what you say, but that don't mean I got to be comfortable with it.
Right. But you'll see them down along that east coast quite often.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And then if you ever get into the areas, I was out on the East Coast doing some water hunting, and it just so happened to be during jellyfish season.
Oh, not good.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah, there again, you got to keep your eye out. You got to be aware of your surroundings, because those are not real easy to spot sometimes.
No.
And usually that when I knew we were going into the water that had that potential, I made sure to suit up. I made sure to have a shorty on that day, just in case, a little bit of protection from those tentacles.
Yeah. And they got all different types of them, but I guess the worst one out there is the Portuguese man of war. And that can really mess you up.
Mm-hmm. I see Shannon says that gar are creepy to her. They're an interesting one, too.
They're a fighter. But you get down, where is it, through Texas, Oklahoma, southern Missouri, they have the alligator gar down there, and all the way down south. And those fish get to be in the 250 to 300 pound range. And I've seen guys mm-hmm. that have caught, and you talk about a mouthful of teeth. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I used to have that was a 50-gallon aquarium set up with a bunch of needlenose gar that even them little fish like that, mouth full of teeth. It's like, man, I'd hate to see your big brothers.
I got a story evolving here in the chat.
Oh.
Phil Bortner, did you know a Knox 800 will lock your keys in your car while you're in BFE dirt fishing, right, Shannon? There's a story behind that.
Hmm.
And then the county sheriff will come get it open, Shannon says.
I'm pretty sure I didn't see that listed as a selling point from Mine Lab.
No, nothing to do with a Knox 800, but maybe. Wow. Yeah, come on, Phil. You already dumped on it.
Yeah, we're enthralled now. There's a story behind this. You might as well share with the rest of the class.
Mm-hmm. Who locked the keys in the car? I actually have locked the keys in, but there's always a spare.
Right. Oh, the car's not supposed. It's one of those where the car's not supposed to lock if the fob's in it, and apparently, somehow they did. It did.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I will say though, it's a good thing the county sheriff came and unlocked the vehicle, because in some municipalities, they won't do that. They'll tell you to call a locksmith.
Mm-hmm. They won't touch them anymore. They used to have your jacks that open them. In fact, I still have one.
Oh, yeah, the Slim Jims, the wedges.
The wedges you can still work with a little bit. But the old Slim Jims, you can't slide them in there. You start pulling around with those today, you'll pull wires, you'll pull all kinds of stuff out. Do more damage than just getting the keys.
Yeah, do more. More harm than good. But like you said, the wedges you can still actually work with. It's a different style of entry device.
Now, Phil just said, went out swinging Aqua T on 25 yard. I could hear it cussing me from 50 yards. So somewhere along the lines, county to the rescue. Oh, both phones were in there too. They got locked in, but she made a call from her watch.
Oh, now isn't that creative? Shannon saves the day, so to speak.
Good call, Shannon.
Now that's using your noggin.
Yep. Did they use the little pump-up wedge to kind of open it and reach in and hit a button? That was the last one.
If it's the vehicle that I'm thinking they're talking about, I'm going to guess they used the wedge.
Nope. Got a ride home. Got the extra key and came back. That was nice of them.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that explains a lot. Of course, there again, you guys kind of got lucky because in a lot of municipalities, the police won't do that either.
Oh.
They'll tell you to call a friend or whatever to give you a lift.
Our county guys are pretty good about that too. They're very good about that too.
Yeah, I do have to say that here, ours are as well, but I know that there are municipalities out there that will not. As a matter of fact, I got a call. Oh God, what was that? 2-3 years ago. Somebody, the weather was nice and they decided they were going to get the kids out to the beach because this was during COVID. Get the kids out to the beach, you know, let them out of the house and burn off some energy, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to the beach and they had been there for a while and she decided she was going to go back to the van and grab some more toys for the kids to play with or whatever. Got to the van, couldn't get in the van. It's locked. Mm-hmm. Thought, okay, well, maybe I left the keys back on the picnic table. I'll go back to the picnic table. No keys on the picnic table. They're like, what am I going to do? And one of the kids happened to just kind of ask her, Mom, what are you doing? And she says, well, I'm looking for the keys. You know, help me find mommy's keys. And the kid tells her, says, oh, yeah, I know right where those are. And she's, you do? Well, where are they? And he pointed out at the beach. He said, I buried them.
Oh.
And there again, you know, one of the expensive key fobs.
Oh, man.
And they thought, well, yeah, they're like, what are we going to do? You know, we don't have any other one, yada, yada, yada. They called the sheriff's department and they got told, you know, well, you know, you don't need us. We don't locate keys for you. You know, you need somebody with a metal detector. And she hangs up and just kind of off the cuff happens to mention, well, like I know anybody with a metal detector. And her sister happened to have been there. And she says, hey, wait a minute. I do know a guy. You know, he used to work with my dad. Let me send him a message and see if he can do anything. And they got a hold of me. We went out there and, oh, I don't know, it maybe 10 minutes, about the third target in, had him. So cool. Disaster avoided that day. I think that was like a $250 key set.
Yeah. I see Lauren O'Reilly made it in tonight. Hi, Lauren. How are you? Tom's in. Kingery.
Yeah, Tom's in there.
Saying hi. We don't see the name over on this side of it. So, but that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. Anytime you can do something like that, especially if it only takes just a few minutes of time, that goes a long way to keeping the hobby in a good light.
Well, whenever I travel, Jill, I'll hand her the spare set, but we both got a set.
Good thinking.
Yeah. Or if Dave and Frank and I take off on a 2-day, 3-day run somewhere, detecting her over to one of the hunts, here, guys, here's the extra fob. Keep it in your pocket.
Right. And Shannon's probably going, that's a good idea.
Shannon says Phil's keeping an extra set on his danyard.
There you go. Now you just got to hope he doesn't lose it while he's detecting.
He's got it on the Danyard and hooked up, right?
I guess they both got metal detectors. They're capable. They can find it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he should be good to go. Right. Those are very durable.
All right, says my kids get a new car. Oh, go ahead.
No, that's.
Oh, I was talking about Ori. He makes the kids give him a spare key, so at 10 he just doesn't struggle to get in a car in a mall parking lot in the dead of winter. That's right.
Yeah, that's true too.
Well, I have an opener that's pretty foolproof, but you don't want me using it unless it's an emergency. So,
right, there is always that.
There's that option.
Something could go wrong.
Mm-hmm. Just over in the corner of the window, and a little pop, and we're in. I've done that once for a kid. So we drew his attention to the other side, snuck around, took a window. Hot day.
Right.
Keys were in the car.
Yeah, and
somehow locked
and that
it.
If there's a lockout in our area with the municipalities that will not do an unlock, that right. is the exception to the rule.
Mm-hmm.
Most all, as a matter of fact, as far as I know, all municipalities, that is the exception to the rule. If they don't normally do that, they will if there's a child stuck in the car.
Shannon says they tried to wedge. Auto locked as soon as they popped it. It's an anti-theft.
Well, yep. I guess Phil better hope he doesn't lose that extra set off the Danyard.
Right. Hey, Facebook user. Somebody says, hey, Chuck off Facebook. Hi. There's several of them.
Oh, yeah, I saw there are a number of them that are just listing as Facebook users.
Yeah.
Which we do. We try to acknowledge and recognize everyone that we can, but unfortunately some names do not show up to us. So that's all we can do is just,
right.
Hello, Facebook user.
Yeah. So see if I oops.
Oh, okay. I thought, what is going on? Is that on my end? But I guess not.
Oh, man. I'm just popping on there to see who's on Facebook.
The music sounded vaguely familiar there for a second.
Yeah, it did. Sorry about that.
Nothing wrong with that, though. Nothing wrong with that at all. So, also, people need to remember, too, if they haven't got themselves entered into the Silver Stack giveaway, that still runs. Go back to the stream labeled 225/24, the launch of the Silver Stack giveaway. Leave a comment on that stream. Any comment you want, as long as it's family friendly. We got to keep it neat, but any comment you want, it just has to contain the phrase Silver Stack in it, and then we will be announcing that winner live Sunday, and you have to be listening live or we'll pick another name. So
anyway,
and people have, they've been getting themselves centered.
I just, that's Steve McAvoy and Nelson's on there. So over on Facebook that I've seen so far. So, hi, guys.
And I see Neo Geo said that he was on Facebook, but now he's on YouTube.
He went on YouTube. So, hi, guys.
Right. Well, which hopefully the weather's good for him out there in San Diego.
Yeah, I see Barks is in Chicago Dig Fest.
Uh-oh. Chicago Dig Fest.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I guess, I was going to try to see if we could get John on here soon.
Alan.
I did tell John that whenever they were ready to start making all of the announcements and promotions to let me know, and we'd get him scheduled, you know, whether that's him, whether it's him and Alan. And John is tied up for a little bit for his birthday. But he did tell me that could start leaking out a little bit. So to begin with, Sunday, I was correct. The dates for DigFest will be September
September.
Yeah, September. the weekend of the 15th.
Weekend of the 15th.
You know, yeah. I 13th to the 15th. There it is. 13th to the 15th.
15th. Sounds good.
I had to stop and think there. They will be doing a meet and greet on Friday. And there'll be more information to come about that.
Good.
They will have the hunt on Saturday. And people can continue to hunt after that. You know, after the hunt on Saturday. They can probably even hunt into Sunday.
Good.
If they would like. And they will be asking, because this is an old scout camp, they will be asking anybody that is hunting, if they see any open holes, please just do due diligence to keep your eyes open, fill them in if there's been somebody that didn't fill in a hole or something, you know, fill those in. Pick up any garbage if you see any garbage and dispose of it properly. Just, you know, leave the place cleaned up and nice and neat. And that just goes a long way for the hobby in general. And when groups do that, that makes these places, you know, kind of like Lake Story for I&I, you know, very receptive to the group to come back.
Yep, they like to see the business come in town, have you back, help them out, that kind of stuff. It's always good.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was some other news with that John did kind of say I could start leaking out if I wanted, but I think we're going to hold on to that a little bit longer. But it's some interesting news, so people are going to want to stay tuned if they're wanting to know about DigFest.
It'd be a good one. It'd be a good one.
Oh, yeah, so. It will be. They always put on a good event.
And, Shannon, once we get everybody healthy again, we'll have that I&I event. We've got a couple of our key guys that have had some operations in that, so... Welcome back.
Yeah. And well, I don't know. In line with that, it's probably, it seems to be that it's turning out to look like it's probably a good thing that I&I did have to postpone to or reschedule to 25. Mm-hmm. I don't know which way it's going to go yet. We're still waiting on more information and all of that, but I may be off the shelf this year too for a little bit.
Oh.
Yeah. Not sure that I'm liking the direction that it's going, but it sounds like if I'm in capable enough hands, it could at least have a good outcome. So
good.
We'll see, but as we get closer to that and have a better idea of what's going on, then I'll have a better idea of what can be done.
Good.
Down East detecting in the house.
Yeah.
So it is a good possibility. I mean, obviously, yes, we will be announcing the winner of the Silver Stack giveaway Sunday, but Wednesday, I may not be around. We may not be live Wednesday because Thursday is going to be a very early, very long, busy day for me.
Okay. Well, Jason wants to remind us about Kodoha is October 11th through 13th. Treasure Fest.
Oh, yeah. Treasure Fest. Yeah. Murfreesboro. Just down the road from the Crater of Diamonds. If somebody would like to try their hand at that, that is a very nice, very well-known, very productive paid dig site.
And you see, guys, it always amazes me. The story comes out. This guy is walking in, first time he's been there, and he picks up a 5-carat diamond off the ground.
Yeah.
Whatever that last one was, that yellow one was the largest they found there so far. Is a yellow
that canary diamond?
Yes. Picked it up. It was laying there. Thought it was shiny.
Right. Yep. Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. I mean,
first time he went, one pan gets a 5-carat.
Yeah.
So they're there to be found.
That's the thing. A lot of people, they don't even realize, like you said, the gentleman that picked up the canary diamond just looked like a yellow stone. Diamonds come in many different colors.
Dennis is reminding us to get in the contest, everybody, tonight. Whatever that is.
Yep.
PM is all it says, before PM. Is that the Silver Stack?
No, because we're taking entries for the Silver Stack up to Saturday. Sometime Saturday, I'll cut the entries off for that. He could be talking about the contest we mentioned in Metal Detecting Central Illinois, the surprise contest. It only runs for 3 hours.
Well, there you go.
So it ends at 9 p.m. Central. Yeah, keep Mike busy. It's pretty interesting. You actually, as a member, get a chance to vote on one of the items that he will be adding to the prize pool in Metal Detecting Central Illinois. Plus, there's a bonus prize for anybody who can guess the rank of pricing of the items from lowest to highest. If anybody can get that right, they may be lucky enough to win themselves a bonus prize. So it's kind of a twofold contest. You could enter twice.
Good.
And
all the more chances are always better.
Exactly. And that's what I was saying with the Silver Stack giveaway Sunday, was that if you happen to mention, you know, if you heard about it from one of your buddies and your name gets selected, and I find out that you say, like, you know, Joe heard it from Dennis Grettencord, well, Dennis just won himself a little something too.
Cool.
Don't know what it's going to be, so I'm not going to say. I'll just have to kind of dig into the pile and see what comes out, which that's another thing. I did just get my hands on a couple of more coins or tokens for the show to give out at some point. I still got to go through them and see, though, because I've also got a few items that are probably going out Mike's way to let him add to his prize pool for metal detecting Central Illinois.
Cool.
So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
We will definitely see how it goes. But in the coming days, what is the weather looking like for Chuck? Is it going to stay nice and warm, or are you going to get back out and do some more digging?
I'm going to get out and get a little more digging in, but we're supposed to start rain tomorrow all the way through Friday, then stopping Saturday, and then Sunday, Monday, Tuesday in the 70s. So we've got an old farmhouse, farm site that we've got permission on. We're going to be hitting that either Sunday or Monday.
Ah, nice. I've got some digging to do myself. Unfortunately, it's not going to be for coins or tokens. I got some blueberry bushes to get in the dirt.
Oh, well, that's important. Got to have them blueberries for the muffins, pancakes, and syrup.
Right, yeah. Tam's kind of looking forward to that. That ought to make for some tasty treats. Actually, Janet sent her a message the other day and ordered some goodies for her and Jack or somebody, I guess, which those may be getting shipped out this coming week.
Good.
I believe it was some cookies.
So that sounds good right now. A little coffee.
Yeah.
Good cookies.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, actually it does. You know, I had supper right before we jumped on for the show, and now I'm kind of starting to think, you know, a couple of cookies don't sound too bad at all, actually. Maybe a glass of milk or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So
we may have to get on out of here and find dessert.
There you go. We'll do that in a little bit. I have to talk to Alan here. There's been changes in my scheduling, so I'll have to talk to him. See if I can get this all straightened out. If I can't, well, it is what it is. But I can do it again.
Right.
We'll see. We'll see how that works. I won't start looking for flights until probably late April.
Right. And then that's when you say, okay, enough's enough. I can't be bounced around anymore. We've got tickets.
That's right. So,
which hopefully the airfare is not. I've heard recently, I don't know if it's some special some of the airlines are running or what, but the airfare prices seem to be dipping back down.
Yeah, you're getting out of the, you're beginning the season of the spring break. So that was all up. And
good point.
And now it might drop back down a little bit.
Very good point.
But spring break's coming. It feels like spring break should be over. The weather's been nice like April.
Unseasonably nice.
Really?
Not what we're used to seeing. I mean, for here in the wintertime, normally we get hammered, say January into the end of February even.
Mm-hmm.
This year, yeah, we've had a few snows here and there, but it's only snowed like twice where there was any sort of mentionable accumulation, and even that wasn't very much. I only had to run a snowblower twice, and
here we are,
taking gas in the snowblower, and it's time to bleed it all off because I think we're done with snow.
I ran it three times, and the one was maybe 8 inches and wet. And then we had another not long after that was about 5 inch, and another one real powdery, maybe 6 inch, that type of stuff. It hung on for a while. And then once we got that one break and it melted short period of time, it's been pretty much, well, we got a little frost and that kind of stuff and freezing.
Right.
But
frozen mix. And yeah, it's like you went to Aruba and winter went on vacation.
No, I tried to bring Aruba back.
Well, the weather certainly got nice while you were there, and it has stayed fairly nice.
Very nice weather and nice here. Not often I could say, well, in the middle of February, I got a light jacket on, and I got a pair of coveralls because the field's muddy, but it's 60 degrees today and out digging in it, because most of the time, mid-February, you can't chip your way in.
Yeah, the ground's locked up. Yeah, I mean, even the other day, I was like, this is just crazy. We're having, you know, not rain showers, but outright thunderstorms middle of February.
And tornadoes and hail and So, well, hope everybody can get out this week, because I'm sending a couple days of nice weather. Then you're going to get wet, Chan. It looks like you guys are going to get a lot of rain down there.
Right. Yeah,
I tried to drag a little of that warm Aruba air back.
Well, I think it worked.
Yes, it did.
We will have to put that to the test and put that on the agenda if you're going back to Aruba next year and see if we can have the same results.
Okay. So keep an eye on all the contests going on. Get yourself entered in them. And we'll see what we can put together here after these two are over with. Maybe I'll throw something in the mix too. We'll figure out what we can do there.
Right.
We'll come up with something, make them do something.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
They got to earn.
Yeah, that worked out pretty good for Jason, making him come on the show to earn his shirt. His
shirt's
for him and Melissa.
See what we can make somebody earn a prize. Might have to have them come on live, whatever, call in. We can do call-ins yet, can't we?
Yeah, I believe I can get that set up.
If they want to call, you remember what we did? You know, questions and answers on different things. Who knows what we'll come up with?
Well, yeah, that's for sure. Sometimes you just never know what's going to happen next.
Right. All around here. You never know.
Keeps them on their toes.
That's right.
Right. Keeps them on their toes.
Got to do that.
Well, I don't know about you, Chuck, but that dessert's sounding kind of tasty.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go up and get some myself.
All right. Well, you, my friend, have a good night.
You too. All of you stay out of trouble and go out and find a bucket lister or a good coin and enjoy it. You just never know in our hobby, right? We like to go out and be surprised. And
that's right.
Kevin's bringing all the finds that they made over to the club to show them off and enter them in for prizes. And I know Clayton's got some dandies. So that'll be good.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk to y'all later.
Yeah. You'll have to clean up that Indian intake with you.
Yeah, I'll put that in there, but I know it won't make oldest or most valuable. It might make most valuable. We'll see. And I don't know if it's 73 or 72 now. I got to look it over real good, but I'll clean it.
When you get that cleaned up, make sure and post up a photo. It sounds like that thing's going to be a beauty.
It is a nice one. I like getting the nice ones like that. Most of the time they're so pitted you can't read them and it's flaking off. They don't even with the ugly box, they don't do well. So
that's right. All right. You have a wonderful evening, my friend.
You too. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. We'll see you, Chuck. All right, so we've got the surprise contest over on Metal Detecting Central Illinois. Runs tonight until 9 p.m. Central Time. Got to remember, 9 p.m. Central Time. And that's a dual chance. You've got two chances to win if you follow the instructions and play your cards right. We've got the Silver Stack giveaway over here, the Morgan Silver Dollar, Walker Half, Silver Washington Quarter, and Mercury Dime, all out to one person. Courtesy of Mike Laquamette, Mental Detecting Central Illinois. We will take entries up to the 9th and announce that winner on Sunday's live stream. You must be listening live that night. And we will get that given away. Like I said, that's courtesy of Mike Laquamette, Mental Detecting Central Illinois. If you're not a member of the group, go over there, check out the group, request to join. We'd love to have you. Nice group full of friendly people. Lots of interaction and participation. A ton. It's something else. They do a good job over there. Mike's got some great members. Good team of admins and moderators and all of that stuff. So we've got that contest going on. We will be leaking out more information moving forward for DigFest that will be going on September 13th through the 15th. And that is through the Illinois Metal Detecting Association, the IMDA. You can check out their group on Facebook, Illinois Metal Detecting Association, or the their page. They've also got a page on Facebook, Chicago DigFest, and I believe they've even got an Illinois Metal Detecting Association page, too. So we refer to them as the IMDA. That's not to be confused with the IMDb that Frank likes to mention. Oh, and speaking of Frank, don't forget, check out our friends over on Detect America DA Live, Mondays, 8 p.m. Eastern. Can You Dig It on Thursdays, Jersey History Hunters on Tuesdays, Flash in Your Pan on Tuesdays. We're here Sundays, Wednesdays, as everything allows. I'm not sure about this coming Wednesday, though. As we get closer, we'll see what happens. That's all I can say. So if you can get out there and dig, get out there and dig. Find a bucket lister if you can. Post up the photos if you find something. We love to see the photos. We love to see people sharing the finds. It's always a good thing to do. And if the Bortners are going to be out digging in that rain, keep a tight hold of that extra set of keys, Phil. And good luck to everyone that gets out there digging. I'll be doing some digging, but it's digging of a different kind. We got to get some blueberry bushes in the ground. Have a wonderful evening, folks. Thanks for dropping by. We'll catch you on the next one.
We sure are glad you found us here tonight. Thanks for dropping by and joining in. If you like metal detecting, treasure hunting, gold prospecting, or even entertaining discussion, check us out Wednesdays and Sundays, 8 p.m. Eastern, on your favorite podcast distribution services.